This is a legendary moment.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to burn okay. one of Cody Van Gogh's pieces. Homie, thank you.
Of course, of course. Okay. We just started at the beginning. I'm sorry. I'll come back. This was fun.
The red.
If I don't get canceled for this, I'll come back.
There's no way you're going to
deal, buddy.
You ever see something so true that you couldn't unsee it? Something that you just knew would serve you. Whether it be self-awareness, plant medicine, a lover, a career. That's what we get down to here. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners, the gateway drug to mindfulness. Spark up or don't, and enjoy the show. Glad you're here.
And welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners. I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie,
and we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And today, yo, art. We love art. We love weed.
Our next guest is a longtime creative roller, creating masterpieces like Fantastical Beasts and cartoons that you know and love. You know him from the cannabis industry. You love him. Please welcome Cody Van Gogh.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you, man.
Oh, it's good to be here. It's good to finally be here.
Yeah.
I always love hanging out with you guys at events and things. And, I've been hoping to.
You're legendary, man.
Spend some time with you. Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's always strange to hear, but I've been rolling a long time now. So
how long?
We're gonna get into all of that. Yeah. I just really want to know, like, off the top. I always ask this question, not off the top usually. It normally takes some more time, but I would love to know, like, your first experience with weed. And
it wasn't like, great.
really?
No, well, it was like I did it.
Should I roll while you talk about weed?
Oh.
Or do you want to roll?
I can roll, yeah. I want to show you some.
He is the roller.
I picked this up. I didn't know Black Market had a sativa, so this is my first time seeing it.
Do you need a grinder? Oh my god, you got it, sir. Answer questions, and roll.
I win. Mine's
who am I
bigger.
Talking to?
Who do you think you're talking to? Offering him rolling things. Pretty sure he's got it covered.
My first experience was... it was an ex-girlfriend of mine. Like, it was actually my first girlfriend in high school.
And around what age?
I would have been, I think I was 17.
Okay, that's older than I would have guessed for you.
Yeah. It was way later than most people, I'm realizing now. I think I was 17. And, she convinced me to, like, she'd been doing it for a while, that kind of thing, and I just wanted to spend more time with her. So she convinced me, like, yeah, we're gonna smoke weed together and all this. And my best friend at the time was a huge stoner, and he was like, okay, no, you need to get high with her. So you're going to smoke weed with me first, and we're going to smoke a small joint because you're not going to feel anything your first time. I didn't even know that was a thing. Maybe it still is for some people, I would imagine. But he's like, yeah, you don't get stoned your first time, so you have to get high with me first, and then we'll get really high with her. And I was like, okay, if that's how it goes. So we smoked a joint together, and he was right, and I didn't get high. And then the next day, we rigged up it was like a 2-liter bottle, and then we turned into this huge bong, and like he had, because it was literally because his dad, like, he stole some piping from his dad from he had used from, like, home hardware for project. Yeah.
Shit.
So he was so excited to have these pipes and build this huge 2-liter like pipe bong with it that the three of us could all hit at the same time. And we must have, like, smoked an eighth out of there. It was my first time smoking weed out of this huge 2-liter bong. And I'm thinking, like, oh, this stuff doesn't even hit me after yesterday. But no, like, this stuff, like, we smoked there for, like, 15 minutes, and then it all hit me at once. And I was just kind of, like, in the couch. I could not talk to my girlfriend. Like, she was just watching TV with my buddy and, like, trying not to let me freak out and shit. And I was just, like, trying to be sick and, like... yeah, it was pretty bad. But I was like,
stinks.
And I smoked every day after that since. I was like, no, there's gotta be something to this. Cause, like,
you gave it a second shot.
Well, I think, like, afterwards I was like, kind of like, man, I was way too in my head about that. And like, I bet if I had just kind of let loose and enjoyed it, I would have had way more fun.
And that's the thing, right?
I went easier the next time too.
I'm glad that you had that guidance, because I feel like so many people either overdo it their
guidance.
First time. well just like that, like
that might be a peer pressure.
It seems like your best friend being stoner, like, it didn't go well, but like, maybe you wouldn't have given it a second shot if you didn't have that sort of, like, you know, basis. You are a nutcase.
This cat's trying to jump on the tableau.
Yeah, he wants to see what's up. Yeah.
Scratching everything on the way.
And so, you smoked every day since, actually? Like, that was it?
So I took, like, there's probably days when, you know, I went home to see family or something, and I skipped, but I took, like, there was a 6-month break in there around the time I was maybe 24, 25. Yeah, I took 6 months off. I was like, I just want to see what happens if I actually get cleaned up. Dude, worst decision I ever made. It did nothing. Like, it was so pointless. And then when
did
I started
you decide
smoking weed
to
again,
do 6 months at the start?
It was probably even a little longer than that. I was just like, I'm going to quit weed because, like, I don't know. I don't even know why I chose to quit weed. But I was like, everybody says, like, you know, you quit weed, things become clearer and all this, right? Yeah. They become a little too clear. And it's like, I don't know. Like, do people really live like this? Like, I don't know. I'm not about it. It's,
what do you mean too clear?
Like you worry, like, about shit. That you see more shit than is actually,
like,
there.
You get really emotional about stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's stuff that just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's nice,
like,
to hear that.
Yeah, dude. A lot of anxiety. A lot of things were freaking me out. yeah.
I love that, dude. Thank you for that honesty.
No, it really was. Like, I don't think it was a good decision at all.
So by the end of that, were you like, back to weed?
Like, I am the first person to admit that my views on marijuana are pretty extreme. But no, I genuinely think that, like, your body has an endocannabinoid system
for
a reason.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a stomach, fill it with food. You have lungs, you fill them with air. Endocannabinoid system. Like, I'm not saying, like, smoking is bad for you. But, like, there's a million ways to ingest it now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm genuinely one of those people who think that it kind of left our diet, like, when hemp was made illegal and animals stopped grazing on it, and we didn't get, like, CBD through that. This is where the extremist part comes in.
I really I love that. That. I love
that. Can we hear more
about
that? Can you, I want to hear more about that. That's cool.
I mean, like, hemp used to be grown everywhere.
Everywhere, right?
Like, it's a weed, especially in America.
It was so versatile, too,
yeah, exactly. So, like, you would have animals grazing on it. Like, one way or another, small amounts of that would make its way into your diet.
Right, because we'd eat the animals.
Yeah, yeah. So when they just, like, you know, tried to kill all hemp production around the world... Paper companies did this, by the way.
Yo.
It had nothing to do with it being like with cannabis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was those other competing pharmacies.
They were like,
sorry, not pharmacies, usually the case. They were like, something's taking business away from our idea.
Yeah, because they had just invested into like wood pulping machines. And then they're like, oh shit, hemp makes paper?
Yeah.
And so they were like, well, we have to outlaw hemp. Like, we can't have this.
That's the way that the oil companies outlawed electric cars at first.
Yes.
Like, no, we can't have people just ditching fossil fuel. We've started fucking gas companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even, oh my God, look up the history of, like, vanilla extract.
Shit.
Bro, I think it's like... There's like two countries in the world that where like the monopoly on vanilla isn't controlled, and you can actually get there's like a million different strains, varieties, and flavors
what?
Of vanilla. Like, dude, vanilla extract as we know it is like a very corporate like takeover. Like, there is one strain, it grows faster than the others, it yields better.
What?
That's what we're gonna make. That's what we're gonna feed people.
Dude.
And so like what we know is vanilla is really just like a fraction of what vanilla can be. Like, this is wow. This shit has happened before.
You it's are the crazy. Man that you know this shit, bro. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this to light. Go peek the vanilla situation.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, it's wild.
And so when these powers that be, they kind of make these moves, and then general society thinks that they're getting access to everything, but they've actually just, like, fucking completely pile-drived the market to make things play out in their favor. Now, that's the edge of the capitalist market that we say is, you know, not good. But at the end of the day, it's all a power play based on building a narrative. So I think it's kind of up to us as cannabis lovers to build that positive narrative, right? And let people see that dope shit, because then people will associate that with it. People associate this, like, vanilla'd out vanilla. You know, with cakes, with homey sensations, with the flavor of mom and safety.
This is like why
we gotta use it to our advantage.
I'm a big advocate of, like, if you are spending less than $35 on an eighth, just think about what corners they are cutting to get it at that price. Like,
said, like,
this has all been done before.
Said like a real and like. You know what's good at the ground level of retail as well. Like, you choose to be involved with cannabis. Like,
insights. I've been a bud tender. I've worked at lounges and I've worked in head shops.
Yeah. In Vancouver too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
OG Vancouver, styles. Yes. Vancouver, Toronto, Ottawa. Spent a bit of time in Humboldt, but I didn't, like, work out there.
Okay.
Yeah. But mostly for events and things. Yeah.
So I love that we agree. We only buy premium because it's like, we're just like those kind of organic geeks. Like, we want to know what's good on the inside, who's making it, a lot of the weed.
Well, the other thing too is, like, I'm sure there are great strains out there that are like under $40, but I'm not going to spend $500 trying to find them. Every single time that I have, like, spent $40-$50 on an eighth, I've not been disappointed.
I agree.
But when I go below that, I'm kind of like, I feel like I could have gotten better, like, honestly, on the gray market.
Feel you totally. Oh my God, you're right. That mid's price point is very frustrating and shoddy.
Yes.
And let's give people some insight. When geeks like us smoke weed and we say it's subpar, some people honestly can't tell the difference. And so when we say, okay, these guys put me on game to show me some weed that I got from an event, had some little bit of mold or something in it.
Powdery mildew.
Yes. Often shit like this is going on the cheaper things, and I think those are the corners you talk about are being cut. But
they're like, oh, it's fine, we irradiated. It's like, that's not fine.
Yeah, but there's no one there to...
You can't just microwave it.
It's like, let me cook you a steak. You know, it's already cooked. Let me throw it back in the microwave and tell you it's medium rare.
Okay, but because it's irradiated, it has no harmful effects, or what? Why does
it
that
stops no it from molding?
Harmful effects. It also makes the weed taste like distilled water. And they're saying all day, like, it doesn't destroy terpenes, it doesn't change the numbers at all. Like, bro, go out and try. Like, half the strains on the market have this weird aftertaste where it tastes like distilled water. Mm. And I'm convinced that's the irradiated ones.
Yeah.
I can't prove it, but...
And then so we got that on the value side, but also the positive end of buying premium is you just have to smoke less of it to get high.
Exactly.
And that's what I always tell people. It's like, I know it's a lot to swallow, especially if you come from legacy expectations where it's $10 a gram, okay? It's $10 a gram. That's how much weed costs for a legacy OG. That's how much I'm always going to, I can't unsee it. My old white madness is starting to sink in. It's $10 a gram. Anything more, better be banging. Anything less, not for me. That's just like where to, but...
Come here, Lama.
but the benefits of, you know, that $50 eighth on a medicinal level, I'm only going to have to puff like half that joint before I get what I need, before I feel balanced. You even brought home some West Coast in the purple one day. And
some MTL, the West Coast Kush?
No, it was a...
Best budget brand, by the way, if you need one.
Yeah. What's that?
MTL is the best brand under $40.
I agree. Yeah. Well, is Primo under there?
I think 1964, too, is under $40.
They're also good.
Yeah.
I do fuck with that Primo Lava Cake. I think under there.
Are they
40?
Are they under 40?
I don't know. I've seen it at both.
I'm not sure, yeah.
I've seen it at both. I'm not sure.
If it is under 40, I don't think it's at that 35. I think it's more like the 38.
Yeah. I think it's at like 35 to 40 mark. Yeah.
That would be kind.
Yeah. That's over 40 after taxes, let's be real.
Exactly, yeah. No, but the premium stuff is fucking... Dude, it feels better. It goes down smoother. It gives me a medicinal effect quicker. You know?
Yeah. I think that's why like live resin's getting so popular is people smoke those distillate pens for however many years, and now they're realizing like this shit doesn't get me stoned anymore, and it's because that pure THC shit is just killing your tolerance, and like, now everybody wants live resin because it goes further. It's like you take less smokes, you get more cannabinoids, and. Yeah.
Fuck. So that's what's going on there. You get more cannabinoids in the whole.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing right now?
Yeah, can you raise that up a bit so people can see?
This is a...
Can you get a lighter, babe?
So you've...
This is the reverse rolled plumber's joint. It's kind of my signature.
Oh my God, dude.
This is the roll that I swear by.
It's so impressive.
Thank you. It's the idea behind it is that it's going to stop resin buildup by... making it so that the smoke doesn't have to travel all the way through the different passages of the weed. It just has a straight passage through. Mm-hmm. So that way you can roll it as tight as you want, get it to burn slower. Every hit is going to be like a green toke. You're not going to be smoking like a ton of tar near the resin, and it's a more consistent flavor throughout. Because you're not smoking like, you know when you smoke a joint and like the last 25% of it lasts 75% of the time?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen with this one.
And it's more dank. It's more like buildup.
Yeah, exactly. It's it's a really cool way to roll.
So you you stick a little kebab stick through it or a toothpick through it?
Yes, that's the trickiest part is I think the reason why more people don't do this is because they get it wrong the first time and assume that it's bad. The gauge of your stick is super important. Like, you can't just use anything for this. I've had a lot of people try it with, like, toothpicks, skewers, paper clips, that kind of thing.
Seems like something I would do.
Well, the thing is, they always mess up and, like, say that it's too hot or something, right? And that's because, like, the gauge controls how much smoke is actually being allowed through. So what I found...
How is the paper... Sorry to interrupt, but how is the paper flinging off like that?
Starts with the sticky part.
Oh, it's rolled?
Part.
Yeah, you start... You
can I hold it up to the camera while you talk about it?
Yeah. So the sticky part's on the outside. That's a cool trick, too. It kind of prevents runs, but mostly it just looks flashy.
And then do you get rid of the rest of that?
Yeah. Here,
let's do
this now. Let's do this now. So is that... Can that see me okay
yep,
there?
Perfect,
okay,
bro.
We're going to, like...
Aha! It's like a magic trick.
Stop it!
And it burns the excess off.
Yeah.
What?
Is that back rolled?
That's back rolled. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's Yeah, and that's like a super flashy trick. But it's the skewer, I think, that makes the most difference to the actual smoke.
And where do you get these skewers from?
Oh yeah, so that's what I was saying. These ones are from, if you can get them at any hot head shop, it's called a raw rolling mat, and it looks like a little bamboo sushi mat.
I totally know what you mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They are the perfect gauge for 1 1/4 or king size rolls. So try it with that first. Once you have that, you can start playing around with different gauges to see if you get a toke that you like more or less.
Value.
And if you start creative rolling, that becomes more important because you have to have like certain airflow for certain limbs and yeah. things. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh my god.
But I would say like just starting with it, absolutely 100% get your hands on that raw rolling mat if you're going to try this for the first time, because it's the only thing that I'm going to guarantee is going to give you like a really smooth toke every time.
Wow.
Is that how you roll every time, or do you ever just spin yourself up a quickie?
No, that's every time. This is like probably as fast as I could roll a quickie at this point.
It's pretty cool though.
Yeah, so it's, well, see, that's why those are the two tricks that I love, is because they don't take any extra time to roll. They just kind of change the way that you roll.
Let me throw this guy.
Which is actually a good segue in my big announcement.
Are you going to share some?
We got an exclusive from Cody.
Oh my god!
Exclusive.
Yeah. This is huge. You guys are going
to
love
Thank
this.
Thank you so much for choosing to share it with us.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. We just got everything set in stone this week, and we're good to announce it.
Nice.
So next year, March 22nd. First day of Can Expo, where I'm going to be bringing a few friends out for an after party. And it is like the Can Expo after party. It's going to be me. It's going to be Rolling at 420. This is all Instagram names, by the way, so go follow these guys. Creative.rolling, and there's a period between the T and I in creative on that if you're going to go look him up. Creative Rolling is going to be there. Who am I missing? A Torsi, of course. Torsi is going to be there.
Of course, Torsi.
Yeah, have you guys had Torsi on the show? Oh, Torsi, buddy, he's a really great blunt roller.
Torsi, yeah. Gotta come roll some blunts, buddy.
A bunch of other people as well, Crater, Frankie Smoke, Blunt Bay, are gonna be helping us out, and we're gonna be preparing joints for you guys, and we're gonna be showing off the ways that we roll. These guys are like some of the best, like most talented rollers in Canada. Whoa. Trust me, I've been around. Like I've seen quite a few. And we're going to be representing different craft brands, so I'll have more info on who those are going to be soon. But it's going to be people that like you don't normally see at events like this.
Thank God we get smoke that good.
And we wanted to give
a lot of like smaller companies a chance. So like we actually picked all our sponsors ourselves.
Yes, that's what it is.
That's what CanExpo specifically has really been about.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this, bro. Yes,
I'm so excited for this too.
So you know, Discipline Stoner's going to be locked in.
You don't have to answer here, but like we're gonna need a DJ.
No, we gonna fuck
we're
with
gonna
it.
Need a DJ.
We gonna fuck with it.
Yeah.
Catherine pre-mentioned this to me, to be honest. Not the whole thing, but she's like, oh, and there might be a thing. And I'm like, well, that's great, because me and Cody did a thing at the first Expo. Yeah. I co-hosted the joint rolling competition with you.
Yes, exactly.
Congrats,
and
man.
That that's still gonna go on this year, I believe. Blunts and Beans are helping us host something with that. I'm gonna be rolling with Blunts and Beans at their
Camp Canna.
Yes,
dude. Camp Canna is so sick.
So I'll be at their booth rolling up with them.
What a sick crew! I love
it's
that.
It's gonna
man.
Be an awesome weekend, man. Like I can't wait for Canna. So,
yeah, we're stoked.
Agreed. Yeah. So this after party, man, this is exactly the light that I see you in. I think you should be the nucleus of events like this. And I think you have such a tremendous talent that you were, because I know, because I do it in music.
So
it's like for me to ask another musician to jam, it's not like a company asking a musician to jam. It's like you're vibing out with what you really do. Yeah. You're bringing the craft and people can geek out. And that's the magic space where dope shit happens, because you're always creative on another level together. Like at that event, you're gonna roll some shit that would be inspired only by that feeling in that event.
Yeah, yeah. My table, I'm going to have my creatives on display and be doing, there's going to be a few of those passed around, but mostly you can come up to my table. You can get the plumber's joint that we just talked about is what I'll be rolling.
Lit.
But yeah, I'm super excited. Fresh Press Rosin Queen's another name that's going to be there. She's a newcomer. But like really excited to kind of show it off to the world.
Yeah. Because the newcomers come with that fresh energy.
We need them.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That's an insane jump joint. That's so crazy.
That's like the erection you get after 5 hours.
Oh my God.
That's a hard stick.
And it's going to,
that's a fucking big poppy. Okay.
They burn for like a long time.
Bro, I cannot wait to spark that. Roller's rights though.
I love like when you go to like some crew of like they got this fat like 3.5 that they rolled into a blunt. I'll show up with like a pinner and just throw it into the circle and it'll outlast the blunt and it's fun. It's so funny.
Let's go. Dude, these are Cody's bars. Mm-hmm. Like, this is your bars, man. Like, rolling joints is such a fucking great thing.
Okay, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
I know. You just
skipped over a lot.
I know, yeah. So what you hold that little stick in there for a period of time to let it form the hole. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I have a picture on my Instagram that I'll send you to. Maybe you can, like, pop it up on screen right here. Yeah. But essentially, when you're smoking a joint, the smoke is going to travel through all those little holes, and it's going to cool down as it travels through there, and it hardens, and that's what becomes tar. And so this way, all the smoke passes through there. And tar, like, it's essentially like...
Not that I don't love you, but I'm also very curious.
You're going to get comments like, oh, but doesn't that mean that the tar gets into your lungs? And it's like, essentially, yeah, but that's where you're trying to get it, because that's the THC in that smoke. So it's like, and yeah, tar can get you high, but it's essentially the same thing as smoking reclaim. Like, you're smoking recycled material kind of thing.
That's what that itchy it also, burn is.
Yeah, yeah. It grows mold really fast, but that's more a bong problem than a joint problem. But yeah, with this method, you don't actually build up any tar. So that means that it's going to burn at the same rate all the way down the joint. So you're not going to be smoking like the last chunk of it for the most time kind of thing. And every hit is going to taste like just like the first hit. Like, it's way more consistent.
That's so fucking cool, man. You're a scientist.
I'm going to have to learn this.
You're a scientist, engineer, absolutely, and artist.
You're making, because you're right. Like, we don't deny when people are like the smoke and like the memory. Those are the two things that we give people.
Oh, yeah.
Memory is fucking. We're like, if you want to call us out on that.
Short-term
like,
memory, for sure.
Like,
toast.
Our risk to reward is obviously greater than what you have, you know, you need to learn how to do this now.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely
what I was saying. Well, because, we know a guy. If you know something.
I'm teaching it at Can Expo, too. And I also do a Twitch stream where you can just like, I have like a little redeem you watch for enough time, and then I'll just do the tutorial.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. We can link that below. But that's what I was saying. Like, if you know that there's a way that you can make this healthier for you, even if it's just like a little bit, like, you should do it.
You should do it.
Absolutely.
Even burning that bit of paper off, I do it from the inside, like pre when I roll. Like, I take one, and then, like, instead of just rolling it big like that, because it's not a back roll, because I don't quite understand how to do a back roll, even though it seems quite easy in concept, but I go like this. I don't know if you saw me do that, but I just, like, I take the paper off pre.
Oh, okay.
And roll
it
straight, but just,
so
like,
it's less paper,
Less paper.
Let me tell you a secret. This is, like, the one mistake that literally every single person makes when they roll. Mm-hmm. I'll still do this sometimes, too. But you're not supposed to actually wet the sticky part of the paper.
What?
No. This is high. There's so little acacia on that, and like there's flax in your paper because acacia, the stuff on the gum line, doesn't actually stick to rice or hemp. It sticks to flax, and so that's why I hear a lot of people complaining like X and X paper doesn't stick, and it's like literally that's because it's the more natural paper.
Right.
Yeah, and. But like it has less flax in it.
All
okay.
Fucking wrong. So how?
So
the fuck
what you
do?
What
it?
You do?
You just push
is
it.
You just lick the backside of it and let the moisture seep through.
Pause.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. You just lick the backside of it.
Just lick the backside of it.
It's so simple. It's so simple.
Get in the backside of it.
All you have to do is lick the backside.
Lick the backside. Oh, wow.
I just lick the backside.
Exactly.
Lick
exactly.
in the backside.
And then you let it seep through. So is there a seeping time? Is that like you, it does, do you have to lick
it? Oh, it pretty much happens instantaneously. Yeah. I usually like run a finger over it just to seal it down. But yeah.
Fuck, that's so good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to learn how to do this.
Okay. I lick the backside and run a finger over it. That's amazing.
I have more questions of your history now. I want to know. I want to know when this, like, was it ever, did it start hobby and go to professional, or was it always professional, or how did you get to this place?
So I was actually like, I was working at a restaurant just washing dishes at the time. I was really unhappy. like dishwashing sucks.
But thank you to dishwashers. Everyone. Because you're literal backbone of restaurants.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's crazy.
With like the least pay, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck. Hopefully you guys get tipped
this
out.
This is fucking good,
too,
bro.
This is amazing.
Most dishwashers don't, but I actually did because it was like a weird set up at a restaurant. It was the smallest restaurant in the city. Oh, wow. And that was like the best part. It was just, like, the money was fine, but I just really didn't like doing that all the time.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Of course not.
And,
it's hard on your back.
Yeah.
Like, it's a they need to make it a different, so you're not.
I worked in a fine dining restaurant, and all the dishwashers were Sri Lankan men. And they were just like strong, and they came from a country where this is nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and they were just like strong, tough men. And we used to fuck with them so hard. God, it was funny.
I think like one of the big things too is like, I was shocked at just like how much drugs were in that industry.
Oh, I know. Waiters, you can't afford to do coke.
Yeah.
Cocaine's not a.
But they have to feel something.
And like,
or
as
a feel nothing.
Yeah.
Huge weed smoker, and this was like legacy days, right? A lot of people were just like, oh, Cody must like to party, kind of thing, right?
Because
like
drugs.
I worked at a bar and I didn't even drink.
Yeah. Drugs in general. Association.
And like, but yeah, that I was like
Cody must like to party.
It was really super uncomfortable there. I didn't like it. and like, because yeah, I really only smoke weed. I don't really like
Same.
Partake
I like mushrooms, but
I was never a huge fan. I think that, like, as an industry, that's not gonna work. unless you can get them sold at like just bodegas and corner stores next to the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like there's not gonna be enough interest. Like people aren't picking up mushrooms every day on their way home from work, you know? Like I don't see that
I
working.
I think the microdose aspect of it might work.
Even it's still healing. You're gonna buy like 30 pills for like once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not even. Some people do like 30 on, 30 off type thing.
You can't do it every day.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people have been asking me like about mushroom industry, and I'm just kind of like I wouldn't. It doesn't seem like a solid foundation.
You know why? Because
industry.
You're banking that people want to feel what mushrooms offer. We like to believe optimistically that they do, but like mushrooms can't let you leave the oneness. So a lot of people's position in life is based on the controversy or fighting of the other, like literally everyone in politics, like everyone in an industry where they work for a corporate where they have like a competing nature, or just in some people who make themselves sheriffs of cancel culture, who go around and say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Like those people's whole identity would crush and crumble if they took some mushrooms, because they would realize that's me. Like this is another manifestation of me. Like we're the same consciousness. And when I'm operating on mushrooms, it's like business comes easy, but I'm like, I don't make too much of the numbers. I'm like, yeah, like you're kind of like always in flow. So I get what you mean. People can't necessarily live there and live their lives like on the way home from work. Like most people, like 80% of people are in this kind of hamster wheel life where they're not asking those questions right now.
You need those people to just to pay the rent on like
a you need those front. normal people.
And you're going to be competing against people who are growing these things in their closet like for literally no money. Like,
Yeah, it might be it could thrive, I feel like, in the medical side of things.
The
like
healing
if they
aspect.
If they started implementing it with some type of therapies or something, and that could be interesting over the course of time to see what that data shows. And I think people would get more open to the idea if it was positive, obviously, if the outcome was positive for certain things. But I've never actually thought of that. I love mushrooms so much that I've always been like, it'll be great. Like,
I think
but
a
you're
lot
right,
of people
as a
are,
thriving industry.
I think, I think a lot of people are running into it after seeing what happened to weed, but it's like, dude, people smoke weed every day, all the time. Like,
if you think about the actual demand,
you can run a store off the demand for weed. That's no problem.
Yeah. You could run an illegal store where people risked going in. Like, you know, remember it used to feel so, but anyway, no, but here's what I do feel, because I join you in the pessimistic perspective of mushrooms as an industry, but in my optimistic perspective of mushrooms as an industry is exactly what, well, branching off what Winnie said, is if they're prescribed by a doctor or a healer, the healing aspects of mushrooms, but as you said, they're a very forgiving friend where like you use them once and then like you don't really need to take them again for 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's not like a... you don't have to implement them, but the microdosing consistently is nice. But it's still every other day. It's
I've never done consistent. There's, I've literally like only like my, they tell me like it's so it's so crazy actually. Just like some days I'll wake up and be like, I think it's a microdose mushroom day, and it always works out. And then I don't do it again for weeks, months, sometimes. Like it's crazy. It's not. I don't know. I think I like it. It helps me out. It helps me get clear.
And like, I'm not saying they shouldn't be legal or whatever, but I'm just thinking like as a business model, the only way that's going to work is if you sell it at corner stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a passive kind of thing.
Yeah. Right next to the cigarettes, like behind the same panels they got now. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. That's the only way it's going to work.
With thorough consideration from Cody Van Gogh, the mushroom industry can now thrive. Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It'll probably do the same thing, though. Lots of money will get poured into it, and people will lose that. But and some people won't.
I would like the oneness to prevail. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't that be nice?
I don't know if that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, I know. Because it's like, if you want that, go back to spirit.
Did you answer the question of how you got started?
No, I didn't. I just told you that I was washing dishes at the time. But yeah, I was
good rip.
So I was a dishwasher, and didn't love it. And I don't know. Like one day, there was like a plumbing accident at my house around the same time, right? And I lost so much stuff. Just like got covered in sewage. It was gnarly. I lost like a collection of like Super Nintendo games. I was like a retro game collector and shit.
Shit. And then it got
bro,
covered
I lost
in poopy?
So much. Yeah. It was bad. literally, it was bad.
God.
And anyways, around the same time, this is just like perfect storm of incidents. Around the same time, there was a server at my work that was like leaving, and they were gonna have like a big party for her after work and stuff. And I start roll like all that I have in the world right now is like a bag of weed, because that was upstairs. And
bless.
Yeah, is like a bag of weed, and I got like just 5 hours of the afternoon to kill. So I start rolling. I love rolling cross joints and tulips and like trick rolls and that at the time. I haven't really done anything like this. But I roll a cross joint and I put a tulip on the top, and I'm like, hey, it looks kind of like a little head. It's like a person with arms and a head now. And I had these blue cotton candy juicy papers at the time for some reason. And I was like, oh, that's the same color as the dress that she always wore. I'll dress this up to look like her. And like, dude, I brought that into work and showed people, and like, I've never seen reactions like that.
Yeah.
Like, people were floored. And I was like trying to figure out what to do with it. I wasn't big on social media or anything like that. People were like, you have to post this to Instagram. It's funny. I actually went out to Vancouver first, because I was like, that's the weed capital. I don't know. Like, I guess I'll do this, right?
Fuck
and Because and my buddy was out there at the time. He's like, yeah, come on, I'll show you around. So he took me out there and we went to all the weed shops and I met some people and everybody was just like, just start a fucking Instagram. And like everybody was still like reacting to it, floored by it. So I started an Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. And then wow. Yeah, the rest is kind of history.
That feels it like such really a like fast. Yeah, natural yeah. way.
Unfolding.
That's so nice. Congrats.
I showed my local head shop because I was buying like 6 packs of papers there a day, right?
Yeah,
my local head shop. And eventually, they're like, dude, how much do you smoke? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, check this out. And I show them, right? And they're like, dude, that's fucking wild. Like, what do you do? Like, we're hiring. Do you have a resume? I'm like, I'll bring you in one tomorrow. And I got out of the dishwashing job.
Yay.
And,
yeah.
And became a bud tender.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's you get to be around weed all day.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I was that was a head shop job at the. It wasn't a bud tender yet. Yeah, it was later on.
Yeah, oh, it was a head later. Shop.
Yeah.
Oh.
Head shops. Yeah, it was fun. We sold a lot of like this was back in the days of Heady Glass, so it was like the best days to be working at a head shop.
Wow.
I feel like at least on this side of that border that. Bubbles is somewhat burst. Like,
yeah.
Heart goes out to the people who are still doing it, but I know a lot of heady glass blowers now who had to go back to their dishwashing jobs. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I feel like I should stop like shit talking dishwashers.
No.
Terrible. It wasn't for me.
No, you're talking real shit. You know how many.
It's a hard job.
People who are baristas or dishwashers or just even servers, some like people or in shitty office jobs, man, or whatever. Like anyone working anywhere where they don't feel fulfilled fully.
Like I want to see it come back because I genuinely think that like a lot of the culture died just because of legalization. If I'm being honest, if like that's what killed it.
Yeah. Do you think that people used to walk into those heady shops and think that they could buy weed from there? Did anyone?
No, they still do. I think now that it's legal more than ever,
yeah,
they're going to think that they can get weed there. They're going to be like, well, you sell bongs. Why don't you sell weed? It's legal now, right?
I know.
It's like, that's not exactly how it works.
Because I remember, I remember going into those bong shops like, can I get weed here? And they're like, no, we just sell like the accessories for it. And I was like,
yeah,
all right.
There was a time when certain shops, et cetera, but like.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Can I
don't
have some weed then? Like,
yeah,
the accessory and the weed sales need to merge.
I know.
I think you'll see.
Yeah.
I like know a few nugs. Shops. So actually, the shop that my first shop that I worked at, this is Cannabis Emporium in Ottawa. It's a great shop. It was the biggest head shop in Ottawa. And now that is a dispensary because they did end up getting their license a few years into legalization.
Sense.
They did it because they got tired of people asking if they were a dispensary.
And they wanted to stay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it does make sense. You've got that many people coming in asking for weed. I think if you are running a head shop now, you should definitely apply for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because then you've got both accessories and buttons.
Yeah, and if you have a consumer or customer base built already, they're just going to start buying their weed from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's incredible, man. So now you're in this head shop. You're in and around the culture. When did you first start bud tending? Did you do that Legacy Days?
Yeah, yeah. Cannabis Culture and Caziar. It's closed down now, obviously.
In Toronto?
Yeah. No, this was actually in Vancouver. I didn't want to bud tend in Toronto.
Oh, in the West End.
So when I moved to Toronto, it was very strange because I was like, you know, that's where all the dispensaries are. Like, I can start, like, getting little joints into places and things. And, like, you know, this could be really good for me. Like, this is a blooming industry. This is where I make my name. Yeah. It, like, fucking, I get my place sorted out. I'm moving out of my, like, my house in Ottawa. And, like, 2 weeks before I'm about to move out, Project Claudia happens. And everything fucking closes
down.
Raids, yes. Project Claudia was a big raid. It was the one where they hit literally every dispensary at the same time. It was so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
None of those charges stuck, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. No, they just try to scare him. It's the mob.
Yeah.
It's a big gang.
Why they call it Claudia?
Oh,
it was probably
they
just
got weird
like,
names for all this shit.
It's like it's a code name probably for like their first attempt was Project Andrew, second was Brigitte, third was Claudia, next was Derek. Like just they're just going down the list of like tactics and strategies or priorities. But it's like Yeah, a bunch of people got hit with that. We used to go to that place on Queen Street when they talked about it, and Buddy got word of it, and like he knew like in minutes they were going to kick down the door. He grabbed as much shit as he could, piled it in the Jeep, and got the fuck out of there. They came and bust down the door minutes later. He took all their premium shit and dipped.
At the time, I was like really involved with National Joint League too, right? Which we're still kind of kicking around as a group.
Nice. But we mostly, who is that consisting of?
That's like, it's run by a dude named Ocean Grown. It was one of the original like creative rolling competitions. So it's been around since like, originally it was like Major League Blunts and people were submitting blunts and stuff, but the blunts couldn't win against the creative roll. So it became its own like National Joint League. Was specifically for creative roles. Yeah.
Okay,
that's good.
And I got into it. I think in third season, and I was competing for the first time in fourth season. but lately, we just do like exhibition matches because honestly, just because weed isn't as popular as it once was. I'm gonna be real with you; it's not. Like
what? How so?
So. I'm going to go off on another tangent here.
Please. Did legalization kill more culture in ways that we haven't seen?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm good on that. Thank you.
I lit this again just to taste the difference.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. It doesn't like.
This is like me making eggs and your average person making eggs. Like they burn the bottom of it. Burn the bottom of it. And that's what I can taste. I can taste more of a carcinogen-y.
To be fair, I can't make eggs.
I'll make eggs sometime. You'll understand what I mean. So everything balances out. Still great weed though.
Fuck, I feel like I just said some really bad shit.
No, dude.
Lost track of what I was going to explain.
Talking that real shit. No.
I feel like I just said something too real and then forgot to explain it. And now I can't remember what I said.
Oh no, it's okay.
Well, we were talking about
the Joint Rolling Association, and you got involved with them because weed has become less popular.
Yes.
That you said. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go into that in a sec. But with the Joint Rolling Association, like, there was a brief time when a dude bought into it, and he was like the producer of like Duck Dynasty.
Oh.
And
what the fuck?
And so he was like flying us out to do shows, to do like high time shows and shit like this.
Cool.
And he was essentially just testing us, right? Dude, I had to sign contracts and shit. Whoa. So like I was not gonna be fucking like working at a dispensary that would risk me flying over the border for any amount of time. Yeah, so because I wanted to travel, right?
Yeah.
And that's just how I felt in Toronto, and then like, you know, other Project Gator and Project whatever else happens. And eventually like people were just afraid to open up dispensaries. Yeah. So I was like and at the time I was doing nude blunts, like the paperless pre-rolls. Yeah. That was my bread and butter. That was like
He told me about these recently. They look fucking insane.
I mean, like I can still do them. I'm just not doing them like production wise. Yeah. Like I was.
Yeah.
But back in the day, like that's what I did. That was my job. You know?
Amazing.
And it got to the point where I was like, I was ordering weed from BC, rolling it up, sending it back to BC. I was like, you know what makes sense? And I moved to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so when I was in Vancouver, I was like, they're never going to raid these places. They said they wouldn't raid these places. So I got my first job at Cassiar. And my first day on the job, they're like, I need you to do this half gram dab. And then I need you to deal with the next customer who comes in. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, like, what's this for? He's like, I need to see, like, how well you work when you're stoned. And I'm like, well, what if I can't do it? And then he's like, then you come back here, you chill for a bit, and then you go out when you're ready to try it. And then that's how stoned you're allowed to get at work. And I was like, oh, okay. So I took that fucking half gram dab. I came out to the next customer still coughing, and I made, like, a $60 sale.
Yes!
Like, dude, it was wild. And it's so weird to me now that I go into work and they're like, you can't come into work stoned now. It's against the rules, like the actual like federal rules to go into work stoned now.
You should always like, be stoned at work.
Back in the day, we had one guy come in, be like, I want to get stoned like he gets stoned. Like, I feel like I don't get high anymore. And I come in and I know this kid smokes a ton of weed. Yeah. He's pointing at me. He's like, I know this kid smokes a ton of weed. Like, I always see him fucking red-eyed. And we explained dabs to him that day. He walked home with a fucking rig and his like eighth daily purchase turned into like a 1 gram dab daily purchase.
Yeah.
Like, it
works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that, like, now I have to go in all sober and just tell them, like, I'm absolutely smoking this at home. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird.
It's
yeah.
also like you can't, as a dispensary, you can't rely on people to smoke the weed anymore. People that are working. Like, a lot of, I've gone into so many dispensaries where the bud tender will tell me that they don't smoke weed.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you work at a weed shop?
And why would you tell me that?
Yeah, lie or something.
Like, yeah, I'm like, bitch. I immediately don't trust you to,
or you don't know. You know. It's just, there's no way yeah. you can know. Like, there's no way you can know.
So, like, you can get a job there now with nothing to lose anymore. Like, back in the day, if you wanted a job at a dispensary, you kind of had to mean it because you were putting stuff at risk.
You were risking it.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I just thought about that. For those people that worked in those stores when they got raided, did they get arrested?
Like, yeah, like, for a bit.
But then, like, no, right? But they didn't really charge
it was
him with
a shitty
anything.
Day.
That's
but,
scary,
like,
though.
I think most of them went home at the end of the night.
Good.
There were probably, like, one or two, like, horror stories that I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But,
there's probably most,
like, I think most of them slept
just,
in their own beds that night.
Yeah, slap on the wrist kind of thing. Like, hey, make better choices with your life, kind of. The cops will say, because they think they're
like
doing good.
Like, all the charges were dropped.
Yeah.
They probably, like, find landlords, they find owners. But, like, the dispensaries that I knew had shit like that written into their budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Exactly. That's what happened with Cafe. They just kept paying the fines, I think. And then they put those cement blocks in front of it for like a couple months.
Cement blocks. I couldn't believe that.
Oh, well, our tax dollars are going to good use. Yeah. Thanks, guys. And then I was thinking about, you know, you hear like first-person perspective from like movies like Training Day, like that what that cop went through that day. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy who's like, man, today we're going to... There's this store on this retail level... and it's like selling people like a herb, and we're gonna like can you imagine this? The team before they go in, they're like listening to like.
Toronto cops are cool though.
They
I bet
are
all
cool.
Those
I know,
Toronto
I can't
cops were.
It.
They're probably like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But I chose to serve and protect, and I'm being told from
this
higher
is my
ups
project.
That this is what I have to do today.
But some of them like bust down the door. Like, I was like, why are you being violent, dude? It's stoners. Sorry. What are you saying?
Oh, no, I was like, I got to address the whole weed's not popular thing, too.
Oh, please,
like,
please.
I kind of just dropped that bomb on people, and I was like...
Facts.
No, but
everyone
I mean, like,
watching probably is like, yeah, it is.
I hate to call myself an influencer. I don't really want to be, like, influencing
No, you're creator
people.
With the following.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be an influencer.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
I said that to the comedians that's, with Puff Mama's Place.
I don't
place.
Fucking want to be an influencer.
I said, no, don't call me an influencer. If you influence, that's fine. I said, guys, what's the difference between an influencer and a creator with a following?
Yeah.
And then one guy said, one's a douchebag. and then the other guy was like, I like one and I don't like the other. Because an influencer is kind of like, hey guys, like it's like very you're trying to be commercial 24/7 like by influencing, as opposed to if you're a creator who has a following because of the art that you do or the thing that you do, you know, that's also where it gets into the social thing about talking about other people. Well, you don't get dramatic and talk shit about other people if you're focused on doing your own thing. Like, you know, like you're creating something and doing a craft, and that's tremendous. I think you make weed cool.
Thank you. That's my whole goal at the end of the day.
Yeah, like it's about the talent that you focus with the craft and what you do with it. It's not just like, I smoke weed, I should like you. I mean, we do. We do generally actually really like people to smoke weed. We like people. But like, yes and.
Yeah, there's like a nice thread, you know, in the community. You're like, oh, you smoke weed? Like you're... I'm safe here.
In the community, yeah. But
you make
like,
art and weed cool.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, speak on it. What's why isn't weed cool right now?
It's not as popular as it once was. Like when I was working at the Legacy dispensaries, you know, when we were checking IDs, like every other person, it was like within 3-4 months of their birthday, a lot of the time. But like, you never see that kind of thing anymore. I think the age for it is getting a lot older for it to be like hype with them. And it's a lot of like, it's very, the algorithms on social media are very tough on it, across the board.
Is it considered a banned substance?
That's the thing, is it's like less than ever.
rest of the world is kind of slowly waking up to it. On YouTube, I know I put like this educational angle, or it's like humorous or educational. That is how we discuss it. Because on Discipline Stoners, we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And we believe that cannabis is a medicinal tool that you can use for insight to have a greater perspective in your life. So it's like we do talk about it through an educational lens, as cool and artsy as we make it. So I know that there's that kind of loophole. Like, I know that, you know, you kind of got to pair it with something. It's too bad that it's not refined. Like, it should be food and beverage, cannabis, travel. Like, you know how you can put topics? Like, it should be its own fucking thing.
Absolutely.
And everything to do with weed can go under there.
So, you can track, like, my own page isn't even the best example, but I like to point people towards you know Shine Papers, the gold papers, right?
Yeah, they reposted our vid, our rolling vid. Yeah, good peeps.
230,000 followers, something like that.
Yeah,
bro. Like back in the day, I don't want to, like, they're fine company. I like them, so I'm not talking shit about them. But like 2016, 2017, all their posts were bangers. Everything, like, everybody followed them. All of them were hits. And I still follow them. I go to their page today and they still have the same number of followers, and they're lucky to get like 50 likes on a post now.
Oh, no.
And it's like,
it's been limited. It doesn't get served to people.
That's the thing, is like, it's nothing wrong with Shine and like nothing's changed there. It's they're not being shown to anyone who it's actually follows them. It's not as
popular. Do you think it's that accessory in
specific? Or those people just kind of abandon their accounts? Like,
I was going to say, it could be time-based with who's with the company. The founders could have been running it back then and pumping more like ideas and energy towards it. And nowadays it could be like just a marketing team.
As far as marketing goes, Instagram used to be like the main source of all my like commission stuff, and nowadays it's pretty much a net negative. Like, I get the most benefit from like doing events, things like that.
In person's always banging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's
can I roll one more of these?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like best for people who, I hate promoting myself, but like,
you should, man. That's what we're talking about.
So I've adjusted my tactics to it somewhat. I should say not really adjusted my tactics, but like when I'm doing an event and I have my tray out, like, people are constantly taking photos. So it's not just me sharing the photo, but you get like 20, 30, 50, 100, depending on the size of the event. You have all these people, you know, tagging me in the photo, right?
It's brilliant.
And yeah, now I'm like, you know, hire me, and like, I could be wearing your shirt in the photo, and I could be telling people that these were rolled in your bud, that kind of thing.
You got to
100%. Yeah,
because it's like your own like reach as a cannabis promoter now. Like,
it's through creators.
Yeah,
it's through creators. That is what I preach all the way. I love having you on the show to talk about this, because I think this is a perfect slice of a menu. I think any brands watching, like, have your logo done by you, like, or anything. Like, it's crazy. You're an unbound creator that, like, exactly, you're active in the community.
I prefer mascots to logos. Like, work with me on that.
Word.
Can I get that out here while I'm in, like, a safe space away from people who ask me this? Go. I hate getting asked to do your logo. The only person who's interested in, like, your logo is you.
No!
Like, no, it's true. It's just text. That's
a good use of your talent. Yeah. Like, if they hire you, they have an opportunity to, like, get really creative. Like, what? Yeah. And our last episode was talking about, like, who are you as a brand, because we don't really know right now based on like limits and everything that they
Tell stories.
Creative rollers out there who like they almost exclusively like like they make their income off of doing logos.
Nice. Yeah. And I mean, like, hey, power to them.
Yeah. But then you see like their creative stuff once in a while.
Yeah.
But you it's like it's their creative stuff that's like really you're like, damn, that's impressive. Yeah. You know, yeah. When they're doing logos for businesses and stuff, it's like, okay. Like when I worked with Masiku, it's because they dropped their wedding singer strain. Right. And so we did like a little wedding singer role.
Yeah.
And it was like people loved that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was so cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
But like if I had just like rolled their name or something, yeah. Or like their logo, I don't think it would have gotten the
okay.
The
so I even deeper, so that like, is actually what I should expect.
That's the thing
from
is like I will work with you to find something that works with your brand. You know, like yeah.
Thank you for going in on that.
So please stop asking me to do logos.
Rather ask him do something more cohesive to the actual brand identity or the drop or the culture.
Oh,
that
this
has
is
going to
be
relevance.
A clip for sure. This is an Instagram clip, 100%.
thank you. Yeah, dude. Respect.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I want you to check.
It's always so hard to like try and snake my way out of doing it, but I'd never want to do your logo.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I as a creator, I think that's
respect.
Your prerogative.
Can you tell us just like where your art, so where you're at the point in your story where you're the bud tender and then, but also you're getting commissioned to do art pieces, as we were just saying. When did that all kind of pop off? Was that Twitch streaming or these events or Instagram where that happened first and you've been compensated?
No, it was like when I first started working at the first head shop, actually, everybody there was already had their medical license and stuff. And they're like, fuck it, we'll just put it on display. And if anybody asks, we'll be like, well, we're all licensed. And so they let me display it there. And then, God damn it! I wish I could tell you. I don't. I should get permission. But like, I sold. I didn't sell my first roll out of the shop. But like, somebody came by
and they were like,
saw them.
Yeah.
This is somebody I think you guys know, actually. So it's like it's kind of wild, but I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to say about like legacy stuff.
That's fine.
You know, these people grew up. They're doing their stuff. Like it's a really cool brand.
Cool.
They're probably gonna be mad at me for not mentioning them.
Feel free to. Yeah.
I'll wait. I'll get permission. But they just like they saw it in the shelf at the shop, and they were like, can you hit this guy up for me? And then, like, the shop called me. They're like, do you want to come down? I'm like, yeah. And talked to him, sold him a piece of those that I had on me. And he was like, I'm doing a booth at, like, Young and Dundas for 420. And, like, you know, it'd be really cool if you could roll up, like, a lot of these. Because this was, like, he told me around, like, November, December, so we had time. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Can you pay me weekly? And he's like, because, like, I got bills to pay, and this is going to take a lot of time. He's like, yeah, we'll do that. It was the worst idea I ever had.
Seriously. How many did you have to make?
I made 200, and that was a lot of fun, and that was worth it. But
what was the bad idea?
The bad idea was trying to sell a premium product at an event that is just kind of very public, and everybody's kind of selling bottom dollar.
It didn't fly?
Yeah, no. It's really, so like, it was a learning experience for everyone. But basically, like, if there's a smaller, like, community event, and I make a few things, I can do really well. If it's a big public event, it's going to be a lot of young people. Legacy Market was very different, too, but it's, like, it's a lot of, like, young people. Just trying to get their hands on like cheap stuff.
You want
to
choke up right now, real quick?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's 420. You know, it's not like the. Is that too?
That's perfect.
Okay, I've got thicker ones. it's 420 too. So it's not like the close people in the community. It's literally just like every random person.
Did you sell any that day?
Yeah. Nice. And again, mostly to community people. Yeah. And like, dude, like some of those people I'm still in touch with, a lot of them I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Like, that's dope. Yeah, it was a great day. It was a great day for me. I just like, I felt really bad about letting them down.
Which 420 was that? What year?
You couldn't have
2016 probably. I got to I have
freestyle
to go
with Matt Murnau in that year.
Yeah.
420 Toronto, here you go, make some noise. I brought my friend out here, Evan. I didn't write this because I got high and forgot to. So I'm gonna freestyle it. You guys like freestyle rap? Yeah. All right, you can start that. You can start the dab up.
At Young and Dundas.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, damn.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't I couldn't have expected that.
So, yeah, that doesn't really happen anymore now at Dundas Square because it used to be a rally. It used to be a protest, and that's what that was. And
I don't think they set up booze, but I bet people still go
they
there.
They still go there and, like, smoke weed. I'm sure there's, like, a thing, but, like, it's not like
there's
it
so
used
many events
be.
Now on
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't know. I think honestly, like, because last year I was living in Ottawa and I was like just trying to find 420 events in Toronto, and because I wanted to come down for it, and everybody was doing their own thing, so none of the parties were like really big enough to, you know, worth going down for. So I went to the party in Ottawa, and there was like one party in Ottawa, and fucking everybody was there, and it was so lit.
Oh, sick!
And yeah. So like, honestly, next year, like, go to Ottawa for 420.
Which party was it?
This was the one. It was what did he call it? It was there was the 420 party in Ottawa, and I know I was working at Buzz Buds at the time, and it was my manager that put it on for Buzz Buds.
Oh, word. I think they talked to us about that.
Did they talk to you about
it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, nice, but it was popping good.
It was lit. It was nice. Like there were so many people there that a big
did you do an activation? They did a what? So we both talked over each other, sorry.
Oh yeah, they there was like a rap show, and
nice.
It was fun. I showed up with all my creative roles, and
what did you do? What was your activation there?
Oh, I was up at the Buzz Buds booth with like my roles and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm pretty close with the Ottawa community because I grew up there.
Oh, word.
I had all my friends there. And
what's Ottawa like? I know nothing about it. I've never
small,
been.
Small.
We've been in the airport.
Yeah, I have family there. It's nice. Like the weed community there is like super, super dedicated.
Nice.
It's like you see a lot of the
weed in the capital.
Same people. Yeah, you'll probably a lot of them love to come out for like Can Expo and stuff. I'll introduce you to them.
Gypsy Tokes is in Ottawa.
Pardon me.
Really?
Yeah, she came for the Smoke-a-thon video. She's in Ottawa.
The red cherry is where I find the light. You know what we smoking on? Light it up, a telebomb. Flexing with the super strong, puffing like a smoke thong. Gotta cut a smoke alarm, throw smoke rings at the throat like a water gun. You know word like a sing-along. Set it, let it be like a bet you betting on. It's a bud throne that I'm sitting on. Phone it in like a telethon. When it's said and done, everyone wanna be puffing like a smoke-a-thon. We be puffing like a smoke-a-thon. We be puffing like a smoke-a-thon.
Really?
Love.
Okay.
Yeah, she's cool. Next time you're out there, holler.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Fuck. Do you have to go?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we smoke this Power Ranger real quick?
No.
Will you call Sam and just like give him a doctor's note for me?
Oh yeah, you work at Sticky Nugs now.
I do.
Shout out our guy Sam, a Sticky Nugs. When we knew Cody was coming to town, I'm like, y'all gotta connect. I'm so glad that you're there. How you liking the Sticky Nugs fam?
Hey.
No?
Well, just because it's the end.
Yeah, it's a blast. Oh, it's very much the...
it's the end of the show.
Should we smoke it or no?
What are you guys doing tomorrow?
You going to do it again? I don't know.
No, that's fair. If you guys want to kill it here, that's fair.
I'd say let's get it in if you're down. I feel like that's fucking epic to smoke one of his crazy joints.
I should probably... like. How
what
far
time
is
you
got to
work at?
Here? Three.
Sticky Doug?
So you're 20 minutes away. It's a 5-minute walk. You're fine. We could smoke this. Literally send him a picture right now.
I don't want you to force.
Let's take a few jokes and then
come on.
You guys will probably have to finish it on your own.
Stop being crazy. This is a legendary moment.
Yeah, okay.
We're gonna burn one of Cody Van Gogh's pieces. Homie, thank you.
Of course, of course.
Okay,
we just started at the beginning. I'm sorry. I'll come back. This was fun.
Red.
If I don't get canceled for this, I'll come back.
There's no way you're gonna
deal,
get
buddy.
Oh,
there
bet,
was no canceling. There
I'm
were
going.
No
okay, let me just say one thing
all
then.
All the Power Ranger fans.
I think Humans was a better album than Demon Days. There.
Now you're fucked.
I'm dead. I am dead. I am so dead. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Oh my god, this is crazy. crazy.
Thank you.
I've asked you about these so much. I'm like, so do these smoke? And you're like, yep. And
yeah, they do.
Now we see.
Well, that plumbing trick that I showed you is like part of what got me into it, is because that's how they smoke, essentially, is I control the air flow through them by creating tunneling little passages through.
Are you supposed to, you're not supposed to light the other sides too, are you?
I would light them a little bit later, but yeah, you can.
Fuck.
My guy.
That's so epic.
Thank you.
Do you do commissions anymore? If someone's like, "Of course, absolutely."
The only difference in these days is that, like, I have to ask that you provide the
cannabis,
yeah, the materials.
Dude, I think that's very reasonable, because then they get to choose what's inside their beautiful joint too.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes more sense.
Yeah,
exactly. So then, when they do smoke it for that special occasion, their birthday or something like that, I love that you can make people like this, the way they dress.
Thank you.
So fucking cool. So yeah, that basically actually brings us full circle, like where you are now. Like, you're rocking with Sticky Nugs.
Yeah.
And you're doing artist commissions.
Also, I didn't get much of a chance to talk about it, but I'm an affiliate for Roll Pros.
Sick.
So, like, if you're interested in if you have a, like, a big rolling pre-roll company or something, you're interested in stepping up that game, I can tell you about them. They don't, like, pay me or anything, but I'm just, like, so I'm just really disappointed with pre-rolls that are on the market now. And considering how well they sell, you abso-fucking-lutely deserve better.
Nice.
And the big problems being that, like, in order to... You have to essentially mangle the weed to get it into one of those cones. Because you have to dry it out. You have too much. You have to grind it too fine, so it combusts a lot faster. And there's no control as far as like airflow goes. Everybody has different ideas on that. And Roll Pros is essentially fixing all these problems. They have two machines that I swear by, the Blackbird, which actually rolls joints. And then there's another one that actually checks the draw of your joint. So you could theoretically have like, smooth and bold options, for instance.
How does it check that airflow with little vacuums?
Yeah, it's measured in liters per inch. It's kind of interesting. They were explaining it to me. I was down at the factory for a bit. It was a blast.
So this is this for mass producing, or is this for
individual? This is strictly for like bigger companies.
Gotcha.
Like mass production. But I've been really interested in that lately. And I have had a few people just kind of like ask for consulting. And honestly, like, my only real consulting right now is like, get rid of your cone machine and get one of these.
Lit.
Because like, this is the future. And
what's so specific about their rollies?
Well, the thing is, they come out in a way that's like much more consistent and much better. Like, they burn slower. You can run them at the same operating time. You can run them in the grow room. Like, they'll run at a higher temperature. So you never actually have to like dry out your bud or anything like that. They use they don't use as fine a grain. They use like a 3-millimeter grain, which is like much more like grinder level, which means your joint is going to burn at a slower rate. And like, all this combined makes such a better product that like, even the quality of your weed is going to matter less, because these joints are that much more efficient. So like, yeah, it's absolutely like, these tension rolling machines are absolutely the future. Like, it's cheaper than cones too. Cones are unethically made, by the way.
What do you mean?
I can source you ethical cones through my girl in California, Lux Rolls. Lux Rolls has ethically sourced cones, but most cones, like all cones, are made by hand, right? There's no cone making machine. There's a cone packing machine, but we're packing them faster than we can make them.
Oh.
So the actual like, and everybody wants cones. So like, you're paying way too much for cones.
I got some crazy crush cones over there.
Yeah.
Like crush grinder. Like, they're fucking banging. But yeah, cool. That's so these guys have ethically.
This is on a roll. There's no cones.
It's so like, on a roll.
Yeah. Lux Rolls has ethically sourced cones, if you want.
So it's not cones, it's rolls. So they roll to make your pre-rolls. Because I think that's sometimes the problem with pre-rolls you buy at the store. They're cones that get...
Exactly. And when you're packing cones like that, like, it's not interweaving. That's why you get the ashes falling out. You get, and like, the uneven burns. It's so problematic.
It is. It's very annoying. Yeah.
And like this machine is just so much better.
Oh my god!
It, like no, it's
and they're
it's
not paying you to rep them.
No, they're not.
Wake the fuck up, Roll
Bros.
So
I'm an affiliate. So if you're if you are like I've been down there.
Now I'm talking about commercial spokesperson.
So I'm an affiliate. If you are interested in getting one, talk to me first, and I will get you in touch with them.
Holler.
Yeah. All right, cool. And then that's where I make money.
There's a money making play, as there should be. But that's but like big.
I do this because I'm interested in the product.
I feel you. We got affiliate programs too, things that we believe in. Buy some coffee from us. Big.
I never asked for the affiliate program. I think honestly, like long term, I would love to work with one. Like I really want to get into
I think
into
that's production. A good space for you. Obviously,
I think production's really, really interesting, and people are very much doing it poorly.
Mm.
And yeah, I've got some like great ideas on how we could do that better.
You are going to be a pioneer of that space, as you have been a pioneer of this space. Thank you for blessing us with your art and your
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Holy shit, bro.
That was an insane conversation.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I feel like we could probably bust out another hour pretty easily, but...
We'll just have to wait
for next time.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
So good.
Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Get all the info down below. Share this with a friend. We're going to be at Can Expo, so keep that in your brain, all of us, the three
all
of us.
All of us and all the after party. Yes, we're going to be lit.
The after party. I'll have more information on that soon.
And then look, for anyone who's ever seen Cody's work and they're like, yeah, but you can't smoke them. Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
You fucking smoke the head off Power Ranger.
I don't smoke them on Instagram because that's how they get you.
Yeah. So hit
but
up
you can watch
Cody
me smoke them on Twitch, too.
One of these. Who doesn't want one of these? This is going to be a crazy
birthday
Christmas gift, you guys.
Christmas gift.
Everything.
Yeah. I also wrap presents around this time of year in much the same way. You can check my Instagram for it. But yeah, if you're in the Toronto area, I only really do that locally, but like kids love it. And I don't know. I like doing stuff for the kids.
Art. Art. And that would be so good to have at an event, dude. Have this guy wrapping gifts for your product at an event.
Yes.
Holler at your guy.
Absolutely.
Okay, love. Bye, guys. Subscribe.
Bye.
Tell a friend.
Cheers. Okay.
It's so smoky. We smoked out. It won't stop because of all the weed being smoked.
How do we get off?
No.
You ever see something so true that you couldn't unsee it? Something that you just knew would serve you. Whether it be self-awareness, plant medicine, a lover, a career. That's what we get down to here. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners. The
gateway drug to mindfulness. Spark up or don't, and enjoy the show. Glad you're here.
Welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners.
I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie, and we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And today... Today it's us. We're rolling up some weed. We're going to get right into the weeds. I think we're feeling a little overwhelmed in this time in our lives.
What do you mean?